This is the Civic Roundup for October 5th, 2022, covering the Buncombe County Commissioners meeting of October 4th, with Mark West reporting. Buncombe County Commissioners approved a budget amendment Tuesday night, establishing six conservation easements totaling about 590 acres at a total sum of $384,000.
The first budget amendment I have is to establish six conservation easement projects. This amendment establishes projects for six conservation easements in the total amount of $384,000, one of which Camp Woodson in Fairview includes a purchase of the easement. This is the second phase of Camp Woodson, with the first one having been brought forth in fiscal year 22. The remaining projects are established and transaction costs funded by this amendment. All of the funding is currently budgeted and no new funds are required.
In discussions before the commissioners, the work was described as aligning with the county's goal of preserving farmland in environmentally sensitive tracts. The projects would protect five farms in Asheville, Barnardsville, Lester, and Weaverville. A sixth project involves an easement purchase for 234 acres at Camp Woodson in Black Mountain, a purchase which will be made in collaboration with Conserving Carolina. In total, the projects would help conserve about 590 acres in the county. Buncombe County Farmland Preservation Manager Ariel Zip said that the projects of this sort are evaluated on the natural resources which would be protected, primarily on the quality of the soil. Funding for the projects will come from the county's conservation easement project budget. Earlier this year, commissioners set a goal of conserving 20% of Buncombe County's land by 2030. The county is made up of nearly 420,500 acres and currently has over 76,000 acres protected. This totals 18% of all county land, while another 1,400 acres currently are in the process of being protected. Ultimately, that leaves the need to conserve some 6,000 additional acres of land in order to meet the target specified earlier by the commissioners. Also discussed during the meeting was the repair of a building on the Inca campus of Asheville Biltmore Technical College. The repairs involve the roof of the building, which was once part of the American Inca Nylon facility and was described by John Hudson.
The final budget amendment I have for the evening is for the fiscal year 20 AB Tech Inca Site Technology Commercialization Center, the TCC, roof replacement. Also approved by the Joint Capital Advisory Committee, this ordinance amends the original budget for the fiscal year 20 AB Tech Inca TCC roof by adding $4,108,177 to the original $1.7 million budget. The initial budget was based only on the roof from a quote taken in September 2019. It was bid out twice without success. There are additional structural modifications necessary that were not considered in establishing that budget. Other plans for renovation expansion of this building cannot go forward until the roof project is completed. I believe we have a contract to be approved related to this budget.
Ronnie Lunsford described the costs and scope of the project.
Again, like John said, the original budget was established using a proposal from a roofing contractor alone. So that was just the roof in scope. And that budget was also given to AB Tech in 2017. So it was a couple of years old before it ever got in front of you guys to start with. Other scopes that are needed for this project to really be successful but weren't really included in the budgeting are demolition, mechanical, electrical, structural steel, masonry, painting, doors, and hardware. The roof of that building, being as it's an old manufacturing facility, there is a lot of equipment on the roof, both electrical and mechanical, that needs to be removed if it's no longer needed, the hole it leaves behind filled in, and the roof membrane put as one solid sheet over top of it. A lot of the equipment there, not a lot, but some of the equipment is still being used. That equipment has to be lifted up, the new roof go on, and that equipment put back. So you'll see the costs of some of those scopes here in a moment as well. And again, just to ensure quality installation, that equipment needs to be removed to facilitate the roof installation. So these are just a few of the costs. The roofing cost in general was a little over $2.5 million. So we went from 1.7 on the budget estimate to 2.5 on the roof alone. Honestly, it wasn't as big of an increase as I thought we would see, just given the current market conditions. I did want to highlight, too, that CMAR is carrying $854,000 worth of contingencies in their contract to cover those unknowns. Those contingencies are something that we in General Services monitor throughout the project, and if they're not needed, they are returned to us at the end of it. So we don't pay that cost if we can keep those numbers down. The quicker we can order material is a big part of that $854,000. It gets it coming and gets us a cheaper price. The contractor that was the low bidder, on a side note, thinks they can source over half the material before the end of this calendar year. So that is a big deal as well, and I think we'll see a lot of those monies not needed. The HVAC mechanical scope to remove or lift a lot of that equipment was almost $750,000. Structural steel, $378,000. Demolition, $154,000. Electrical, and so on down the list. And all of those numbers don't add up to 5.7 because there's a lot of smaller numbers in there as well, like dumpster rentals.
Commissioner Al Whiteside said, in response to the expense, which appears to have been unanticipated, that it was nevertheless cheaper to renovate than build new buildings if the essential fabric of the structure was sound.
And we might add, too, that part of the building is being torn down, but this part, that, now correct me if I'm wrong, Dick, but the part that we're keeping, this was discussed, and that's the, it's the cheaper way to go, and it's a better way to go, to utilize what we have there, what's left. And we had discussed this, I think Jasmine started when you were still on the committee. So we've been, that's why I'm surprised, pleasantly so, that the cost is, we've been able to hold it down, because the way material is going up, and let's hurry up and get it, because of the hurricane, we don't know where we'll be. But I think you all have done a good job in managing that, and thanks. Yeah, and we discussed it at length in the meeting, a week ago or so. Yeah.
In public comments, Ben Williamson argued that the Tourism Development Authority was an unelected entity in control of expenditures of large amounts of taxpayer funding.
Good evening. We know affordable housing is a board priority. However, increases in tourism marketing make reaching this goal harder. More visitation incentivizes short-term rentals, restricting the housing market. Tourism attracts home buyers who are overwhelmingly non-local and increasingly corporate. But this commission allows massive yearly increases to tourism marketing that no assessment shows an increased need for, providing obstacles to the one issue, affordable housing, that everyone is asking for help with. I'm hopeful we'll pass the housing bond next month. However, we're essentially adding a tax to locals on one hand to offset damage made worse by the occupancy tax on the other. Whether it's early childhood education, reparations, parking for service workers, or property taxes, this board has proven it considers issues of fairness. And while some profit from TDA adds, many have not. Asheville's wages rank lowest, our cost of living is highest among NC metro areas. Our homeless count is up and our poverty rate is increasing. Yet we'll spend $46 million this year to fill beds for hotels, many of which are owned by multinational corporations. This is unjust, and the data shows it's not working. Other taxes, such as those on tobacco and gasoline, offset negative impacts of a commodity. Our occupancy tax should do the same. The templates exist for alternatives, and it's past time to implement them. Outside of economics, the TDA's makeup is an affront to democracy. An unelected body distributing millions of public funds that directly benefit the businesses they operate is a remarkable conflict of interest. Even if you support how they spend, there are no arguments to support the structure of the TDA. It's not quasi-governmental, as it's been called, it's profoundly anti-democratic. Members of this board have admitted the faults of the TDA and Raleigh's inability to seriously address them. You've worked hard over many years to win a tweak in allocations. Thank you. But with increased revenues, this won't reduce advertising spending. And there's no cap or limit that exists on marketing. Language for the remaining 33% still states funds are to be tied to increased tourism. So change the power dynamic in this conversation
cancel this tax unless a drastic, just, and democratic reorganization occurs. This issue is a matter of priorities. Enhance the experience of our visitors by prioritizing families and workers. Workers earned the revenues the TDA claims in their reports. Workers and their families deal with the impacts of increased tourism with no seat at the table.
And Nina Tovish argued that the commissioners needed to seek some sort of mechanism to reduce the expenditures that workers in the hospitality industry have to make in order to be able to work downtown.
Good evening, commissioners. My name is Nina Tovish, and I'm here to speak up for the folks who are the foundation of not just our tourism industry, but of the hospitality industry that this entire region is famous for, and in particular in Asheville, that serves both visitors and locals alike. And that foundation is the service workers, who often are not paid a living wage, but nonetheless often commute in on public transportation that is not particularly reliable and often doesn't last long enough for them to commute back out. They have to Uber back out, which decimates their earnings. And the ones that are lucky and fortunate enough to be able to afford to have a car come into town and can't find an affordable place to park. I know that you all have taken up an exploration of subsidizing parking for hospitality or service workers in the city of Asheville, and I commend you for doing that. I think it's incredibly important. I hope that the results of the survey that is currently being circulated will make clear how incredibly important it will be for those workers who are the foundation of Asheville's hospitality industry. Make it possible for them to raise their standard of living, to be able to pay all their bills at the end of the month.
This has been the Civic Roundup for October 5th, 2022. Our theme music is by SP.